This is Maurice Jones-Drew, and you're listening to the What's Brewing Show.
Hello and welcome to What's Brewing Show. I'm your host, Jake Merrifield. I'm here with Jamal, and I'm here with Mike, and we just had an extra long episode, so we decided to break it up into two. So with all that being said, Jamal, take us through the current sports landscape with a little bit of West Coast bias. Thank you very much.
Well, you guys discussed Under Armour terms of UCLA. So obviously there was also discussion in terms of Cal.
California, here we come.
Go!
California. Very nice.
One more after this.
Go, Bruins! Beat the Golden Bears! Beat them as hard as you can! Beat them with impunity!
Yes, sir.
If you're listening to us, who knows at this point?
Yeah.
You know, not to get too much into the details, because I'm sure you guys discussed this last week, Under Armour is trying to get under its two biggest contracts, which are UCLA and Cal, in terms of their sporting attire contracts. UCLA's is much larger. It's $280 million. Cal's is, I believe, $86 million.
For how many years?
For,
I don't know. UCLA was 15.
Yeah, I think
was
Cal's was
10?
8, I want to say.
Was 8? Okay.
I think it was 8. Because Under Armour at this point is, has because of the COVID crisis, I believe, has, or at least that's the excuse they're using, has profits dropped 25%. From the Cal's perspective, there were
Wait a second. You said Under Armour's profits what?
Dropped 25%.
Their stock dropped even more than that, I want to
right,
say.
No, their stock definitely dropped, but it's a profits 25%, yeah. Yeah, I think Under Armour went from trading at, like, I don't know, 35 to, like, 8.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was like yes. 8, 9, or 10 or something.
Yeah. So, from the Cal perspective, two things that popped out was, one, their contract was signed before UCLA, and at the time Cal, it looked great.
They were the West Coast flagship before UCLA.
They were the West Coast flagship for like 2 weeks, which pissed off a lot of Cal people, because that's the way it was being touted. And then UCLA, like, you know, a 1,000,000,000% higher contract in terms of money and length. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of been a poison pill, whatever. But basically, for the same reasons they've been saying that the Cal hasn't lived up to their part of the contract, and so they're trying to get out, which
it's all horseshit,
which is BS. And the second thing was,
are they saying that, or are they using like a
they're
like
using
disaster?
That.
Yeah.
No, they're saying that their agreement, in order for it to be profitable for the school and for Under Armour, hasn't been fulfilled from the Cal perspective. I don't know if that means that the program hasn't had its national profile raise, or they're just looking at straight profits from sales before the situation, but essentially that's their excuse.
Are they using force majeure?
They are not. No,
because that was that's what the wording was for the UCLA
thing, right?
I believe that's one of the things that they were looking at, was whether this could fall under force majeure. The problem, and this is the second point in this situation, is they never signed the contract. Cal,
that was something.
No,
yeah.
Under Armour never signed the contract. Now, I only did one.
4 years later.
Right. I only did 1 year of law school and two semesters of contracts. And there is precedent that as long as whatever was outlined in the contract was
being fulfilled
for the length of the contract, even if it's not signed, it's still a contract.
They have to honor it.
Right. They still have to honor it to a certain degree. So I don't know if that's where the argument comes in, where Under Armour saying that Cal didn't live up to their part of the contract. And I don't know how you even quantify that. But yeah.
So Cal didn't sign or Under Armour didn't sign?
Neither signed.
Neither.
So it's just essentially it's almost like a hand. It's written down
deal.
And then it's a handshake deal.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So, Michael, you were
going to
say.
So, what was the okay, because I know UCLA fans just, they did not like Under Armour. They did not put out appealing apparel. And the other complaint.
I'm a dissenting opinion on that. I like their stuff just fine.
Okay.
I understand I'm in the minority.
Well, the other argument was that it was very pricey. Yeah. Was there a certain.
That was Bill's
a perspective. Well, I mean, he's right too. I mean, you
he
know,
was
I,
right.
I it was just really pricey.
But he is a noted cheapskate.
That is true.
I'm going to say that.
What were the Cal fans' perspective on the apparel and the price, if at all?
I'm going to say that most Cal fans are probably fine with what the apparel looked like. One of their more popular items was the look that they did for the homecoming game, which is always the Joe Roth Memorial game.
Was that the throwback?
The throwbacks. Okay. Yeah, that was probably the most popular, and everybody loved that from what my understanding is. From what I understand, the Cal culture community, I believe, always was fine with the relationship, because it was initially given, when it was signed, Cal was given some spotlight, in terms of being able to sign with them and being quote unquote a flagship, even though that didn't last very long signing. And also, I want to say that a lot of people didn't like the previous relationship with, I believe, Nike, because there was a lot of parallel between what Cal looked like and the Oregons of the world and the Miamis of the world. So it did give Cal a chance to sort of stand out, separate from those other schools. And I don't think anybody had any complaints about it. So from that perspective, I think people liked the relationship, but at this point, it's pretty obvious what Under Armour is trying to do. They're losing money.
Yeah.
Have you heard about what Cal's going
to
do now?
Well, Cal said in a statement they are going to continue to fulfill their relationship with Under Armour. So I don't know, other than the legal system, what Under Armour can do to get out of. Other than the legal system, I think that's the only recourse for Under Armour. Cal is not looking to get out of this. They want their money. Obviously, one of the things that has been spoken about is how much debt Cal went into because of the refurbishing of Memorial Stadium and of their building the new football facility or athletic facilities with emphasis on football. They don't want to sever their relationship. They want to get paid their money. So I'm sure this is going to play out in the court system. But from a Cal perspective, I think that neither the students or those who have an affinity for the sports program want to get out of the agreement just based on aesthetics or price or anything like
that. Now, the way I understand it, Mikey, UCLA is still of the posture of, I mean, I don't know if this has ever been confirmed, if you know any information, but when we were talking about, we were thinking that UCLA could probably get a settlement out of Under Armour, right, which could be a boon for them right now. And then the question would be, could they find another vendor to provide apparel? And of course, Jamal, we liked your suggestion. What was the name of the company?
Cam Soda.
Cam Soda.
Cam Soda.
I'm still in favor of Cam Soda, but I mean, I don't think that's going to work out. But
hey, Cal had Kablam Field, so why not?
Right. So, Mikey, do you know, have we confirmed or denied, or do we have any idea whether or not UCLA is seeking to just get like maybe a settlement out of Under Armour and then move on? Or if they're kind of the posture that Jamal's saying Cal has, in that they just want to try to make it work for as long as it can work until it doesn't work?
From what I heard, it seems like they are going to look for someone immediately. But even if they do, there will not be enough time. Who knows, depending on how long the season is delayed. But there would not be enough time let's say that they signed something today. There wouldn't be enough time to go through the specifics of what the school needed. So right now, as of right now, Under Armour is supplying this year's uniforms. But hey, that could change as well. I don't know. But there, I think there is, there has been talk about who they might go to, who they might jump to next. See what I did there?
Uh-huh.
But obviously, with everything progressing, UCLA has some time to go over specific details about, whatever new detail with whatever new company that they choose to sign with.
Well, I'll just say this. I have to outfit the Grizzlies every year. And this year, I was very proud of myself. The last 2 years, I was able to outfit my players with, UCLA, Drummond, EpicSports.com. you can get some good closeout deals on some jerseys.
Yep.
Maybe you have to change the color scheme a little bit. Maybe the UCLA Bruin looks a little more Cal-ish this year. Maybe they adopt Scarlet for a year or whatever. But you can get some jerseys. You probably outfit your players for maybe like, you know, 10, 11, 12 bucks a jersey. You know, buy some cheap football pants and, you know, hey, we're out there and play some football at US. you could save some dough. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying.
I mean, EpicSports.com. I mean, you're not wrong.
For all your brand needs.
Because the jersey doesn't win games. The athletes win the game.
Can you imagine coming out next year and like they
do with pro kids.
Under Armour does like a cease and desist. They can't wear Under Armour. So they walk out there and they have like some like Russell Athletic, you know, and they're like, you know.
They're like high school jerseys.
They're like fuchsia, you know, yeah. Like the big generals.
They have purple, blue, and orange, yellow.
The tearaway jerseys. They just got to keep playing.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, the printing isn't all right yet. Yeah. It's the bronze, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, save some money. Don't get the names on the back. You know, you can say that you're, you know, doing the SC style. You know, whatever.
I vote for Adidas. Just go with Adidas.
Whatever.
I'm down.
Whatever they do.
I love the Adidas, but they screwed up too many uniforms. I don't know. But anyway.
Jamal, why don't we do a quick sports whip around, considering that, you know, we got no sports, but we might have some sports, but we don't have any sports.
Well, I guess let's do the whip around in terms of how we're affected here on the West Coast by our favorite teams. So let's start with the number one team for all of LA. I don't care who your loyalties are. You can't deny it, but it's the Lakers. The Lakers went to Orlando.
Goddamn right.
The Lakers went to Orlando. They are in the bubble. And then immediately the bubble kind of burst. So before they went, Avery Bradley decided not to go. He had initially sent out some signals about whether it was, and this is something we discussed, whether it was right to be playing sports at the moment in our country because of the situation with social unrest, Black Lives Matter, whether it was relevant to play sports. And then what ultimately came out from his decision was, I believe it was a family issue, not wanting to be away from his family. There are some, I believe, some custody issues, or he has to. There was something where he wanted to be around his son, and he, you know, being away in Orlando in the bubble,
it's making it hard.
Yeah, it would have been too difficult. So he opted out. Then the other story was, well, was Dwight Howard going to opt out because he was sending out the feelers in terms of. Because
he kind of bounced off the Kyrie Irving statements and all that.
He was included in all those phone calls with Avery Bradley, Kyrie Irving. So, and then ultimately he decided he was going to opt in and he was going to play. So
I was glad to hear that.
The Lakers, and so was I, because he's been a feel-good story for the Lakers this season. So I, whatever comes of the rest of the season, I want him to partake in that and enjoy his teammates.
Me too.
So the Lakers did go to Orlando, and I think it was Saturday. We got some footage of playoff Rondo hitting the hands, and then Sunday night practicing, he breaks his thumb. Yeah, out six, because of surgery, out 6 to 8 weeks, which would put him, if the Lakers, when they do the restart, if they were to go deep, he might be able to help him out in, say, September at this point.
At this point, like, how, you know, my biggest complaint about the NBA the last 10 years has been how long they've made their playoffs. But I heard that it was going to be more compressed in the bubble now.
Best of three? Thank God.
Well, not just the best of three, but it's like.
Well, best of.
Well, no, I just don't want the best of seven where there are three days in between.
That's
each
exactly
game.
What I'm saying.
Right.
God, that best of seven's fine, but don't make
NHL,
3 days.
NHL, every other day.
Yeah, they're even thinking. I've heard.
I heard a possible
back-to-back days?
Back-to-back days, or even like one night off, basically. And versus, because there's no travel time, they're all playing on the same courts, that kind of situation.
Yeah, that's true.
So, the prospects of Rondo getting back before something really meaningful has transpired or whatever, it really would be the tail end of it, possibly.
Right. It would. The Lakers would have to be deep into the playoffs. We're talking, they're in the conference finals, and then he jumps back in. So, you know,
that's a bummer.
Yeah, it's a bummer because Avery Bradley's down, Rondo's down. Avery Bradley is a starter. Rondo is entrenched with the second team.
Was the first guy off the bench, right?
Sometimes, depending on whether it's KCP or him.
But they'd usually play KCP at shooting guard.
Right, a shooting guard, right. So the Lakers are running a situation where they're running out of point guards. Thankfully, on the first team, LeBron is the guy who's handling the ball. And more than likely, Rondo would have been playing with the second team, being a primary ball handler or one of the help ball handlers. And so now they're in a situation where they're down some guards. So there's an opportunity for KCP and Alex Caruso to step up.
I like Caruso playing with LeBron, and I'm hoping this doesn't
Caruso with LeBron
make that happen
And AD, the numbers are crazy.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, they're the best defensive team in the NBA when those three guys are on the court. So that's the Lakers situation. The Clippers, Kawhi Leonard still hasn't. Well, it's news.
Screw those guys.
Kawhi Leonard still hasn't gone to Orlando, apparently. But Doc Rivers is saying he's firmly in their plan. So I don't know how that's going to work out. Again, the season doesn't start. The Lakers and the Clippers are going to be the first game at the end of July if the season does start off, because we're getting some news from other teams. So just hold on to that. They're supposed to be the first game. I don't know if Kawhi Leonard's going to be there. Maybe he's doing private workouts and then he'll show up in Orlando. Or he's trying to stretch out the latest, but we'll see how the Clippers turn out. Although they don't really have any significant injuries. Paul George is healthy. Most of the guys are healthy. So
it's likely the Lakers will be able to maintain the number one seed.
Yes, because 5.5 games with 8 games to go, it's going to be pretty hard for
them.
It's
going to be pretty hard for them to cough it up. But
even though the Lakers have the hardest schedule.
Do you see
an
advantage? Yeah, they do. It's like, I was like, geez.
Well, one of the games was Houston, especially
the first 2 weeks.
Now Houston's lost both Westbrook and Harden. I don't know if they'll be ready to go for that those first couple weeks of this restart.
But it's almost, I guess you could say, they have such a big lead, it's kind of okay if they're going to get tested,
right?
Because at least they'll get tested
right
before they go in,
right?
As opposed to playing like the Wizards that have nobody, and then I think then the Nets lose a couple guys too,
right?
You know, it's like, so that's probably actually better for them in the long run,
right?
But let's say they do have an epic collapse, they end up in the 2 seed. Is there a noticeable difference between playing the 1 and playing the 2 seed?
No, because we're talking
about... As long as they're on the other side from the Clippers,
home,
right?
Yeah, right. There's no home advantage kind of situation because they're all playing in the same place. Yeah. The only thing I would say is if you're talking maybe New Orleans gets that 8th seed versus, say the Kings snuck in there. In my head, New Orleans is young, vibrant. They're getting Zion Williamson, who's supposed to be in the best shape. Finally played himself into shape when there were no games.
Ready to roll.
Right. That might be a tough get, especially in a 5-game series.
Yeah.
Because that's what the first round's going to be like instead of a 7-game series. That might be an advantage, but you just never know. I mean, everyone's starting off from zero. It's almost like preseason, those first 8 games.
It is just going to be so bizarre.
Right.
Like with no home court whatsoever.
Right.
Because
and
that
no
was
home court.
Such a big deal.
Yeah. And the Lakers, you could tell the Lakers are really fighting for that. Yeah, especially towards the end there where they really...
My wallet was really fighting for that.
Hey, I was going to go to my
You're going to go to your first playoff game, Jamal.
Still, as an agent of chaos, I love what's happening here. just this randomness.
It's going to be very
as
random.
As long as it doesn't mean that the Clippers win.
Right. So that's the Lakers. That's the Clippers. Going over to the Dodgers, and I guess to some extent the Angels, they've started having these intra-squad games. The Dodgers at Dodger Stadium... The schedule was put out. The Dodgers are going to be the opener, I believe, against the Giants in July.
Giants? I thought it was Arizona.
No, I thought it was the Giants. No, I think
it's
the Giants.
Either way.
It's their first game.
It's a condensed schedule.
Right. It's a condensed schedule. They're only playing teams in the NL West and the AL West. They're trying to get to an October playoff season. It's only 60 games. I wrote an article for LASportsHub.com. Where I think the Dodgers have the advantage over a lot of teams. They have a lot of depth. They have a lot of young arms. They can plug in and out of the rotation and into the bullpen to make the most of this condensed
Even losing
season.
Price and all that?
Even losing somebody like Price, who was pegged to be their third starter, but in these circumstances, who knows? You know, we're talking about a condensed season that they're trying to pack in so that they can start the playoffs in April, in October, and they're expanding the playoffs anyway. So even if the Dodgers weren't the greatest team in this situation, they'll probably get in just because there's enough slots. I mean, they're expanding it by 10 teams can make it, and they're expanding it by another 6 teams, you know, in both leagues. So it's again, weird circumstances. I think and they have the best lineup in baseball. Yeah. I think Mookie Betts, Cody Bellinger, Max Muncy, those guys in the middle of your lineup, you're talking about two MVPs and one of the best stories for the Dodgers in the last couple of years in Max Muncy. They have the best lineup. So even if their pitching wasn't the greatest, they're still going to be so good offensively I think they'll be in the playoffs.
And sorry, Godfather, but stick it.
Well, the Godfather might have something to cheer in October because it's October. Cubbies. It's October, and it's who knows what happens at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's the problem with
especially
the Dodgers.
Especially with this
delay. Right. And the Angels, you know, the Angels are pretty relatively healthy. There haven't been any stories about who would opt out or who's not going to be on the team. They're going to have a potent lineup. Their pitching won't be that great, but again, we're just talking about, you know, some expanded playoffs and a shortened season. Anything can happen.
Well,
it's baseball.
Aren't they Angels waiting on the decision from Mike Trout?
Well, that's the only thing. That's the big one. Mike Trout.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. But he's been practicing but he's been practicing with them. He hasn't made
a final decision.
Right, right. He has been practicing with them. He's been putting in the work. So
and the biggest reason is because his wife is pregnant.
Right, his wife is
and
pregnant.
And he doesn't want to be away from his family,
right.
And also he doesn't want to potentially infect his
right.
family.
And
so. And you could say that for a pro athlete in his position, this would be the only circumstances where you could say, oh, okay, I guess it's
right.
Yeah.
You can't really second guess him.
Same thing with college.
Buster Posey has Buster Posey plays catch for the Giants. He's kind of the face of their franchise. Opted out. They just adopted twins. Adopted twins, and they're in the NICU, so they're the worry.
Yeah, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, you don't want to infect.
Yeah.
So
it's not a normal situation. So
right, exactly.
Guys choose not to, then they choose not.
Continuing on with the rundown, like you know, soccer, LAFC, LAFC and the Galaxy are playing tonight. Right now, if you like Americans, if you're talking about American sports, the only league outside of women in the five men sports, it's MLS right now. They started their MLS back tournament in Orlando. LAFC and the Galaxy both started playing in this tournament tonight. LAFC tied 3-3. Galaxy right now are 0-0 as we speak in Orlando. Big story out of just the soccer group is...
How are they all managing all this?
It's similar to the NBA. They're in a bubble. Their families aren't visiting. It's very restricted. And they're doing a tournament style, World Cup style. You play in groups, and then you go to.
Why don't I hear something about this every minute on Twitter and on every podcast?
Because it's American
in the world.
Soccer.
Because
it's MLS.
See, that's the thing. It's like this is fucking bullshit, man.
And somebody who covers it, I'm very cognizant
of the
reputation of the
women's
league.
Women's soccer league,
right?
And the
WNBA,
which is starting in a few days.
And going back to my previous argument,
they're
right?
Niche sports.
Who has? And by the way, I might be totally off base with this, but Jamal, I expect you probably know this. Who has more financial resources, probably on average, at their disposal? The major Power Five college football team or your average MLS soccer team?
Major Power Five college football team.
Isn't even up for debate?
No.
Right? I mean, so it's like, they're effing doing it.
Well, the other thing is because
the amount of players.
MLS is such a niche sport.
How many guys play
forced.
On the pitch?
Well,
every
it's
game.
It's 11. It's 11 on
same
11.
Same as football.
How many guys are on a fucking soccer team? a kicky ball team.
18, I think. 18.
There's only 18 guys?
Yeah.
They only have fucking 18 guys, and they play 11 at a time?
11 at a time, and then you have substitutes. Yeah.
That's it?
Seven?
Well, no, they expanded their substitutes for this.
Okay. Yeah. Normally, you can only substitute three times in a game.
But this time, it's five. They have five.
This shows my ignorance.
Yes.
For real?
Yeah.
A game day roster is about 18.
I just assume since there was 11 players, they probably had like at least 30, 40 deep.
No.
No.
A game day roster is like 18.
That's why I do respect soccer players because they run. They have the best.
Okay.
And there's a lot of staffing
their calves
issues
are beautiful.
Or whatever. No, but I mean.
I stand corrected because, you know, college football teams like 70 dudes. So they're.
But I would argue that these are niche sports. MLS,
yeah, it is.
WNBA, the
very
women's
niche.
League, super niche. It's their revenue generation is compared to say a college football team.
Paltry.
You're right. We're talking about a Fortune 500 company versus a mom and pop shop.
And if you're going to let them do it, why don't and
right.
it's accepted as
right.
You know, and this is you just need to reframe how you think of these athletes in this particular situation.
Right.
You're not forcing them. You're giving them the opportunity.
Right.
Yeah.
But if your question is why are they doing it, it's because they need the money. They need the money. They
yeah.
need to generate the revenue. That's why. And going back to what we're talking about in terms of athletes opting out, the biggest story was that Carlos Vela, who plays for LAFC, opted out of not going to the tournament because there's a tournament. That's how they're restarting this with some ramifications for their Continental League
and good
situation.
And good for him. That's
right.
His right.
Right.
And he shouldn't be penalized.
So
for
it's
that.
Real. It's not just preseason. And then there's the regular season afterwards. And he opted out because of his family. His wife is pregnant. And he was concerned about being in the bubble, getting sick, and then bringing it back to his pregnant wife.
Hockey news.
Hockey. The Kings and the Ducks, no playoffs, no big deal. The Kings, though, did win the their
question
draft,
mark
question mark win maybe lose their draft. They won their draft lottery in the sense that they went from number 4 to number 2. That's and that's nice. That's big, getting the number 2 pick in the draft.
Go Kings go.
But they lost out on the number 1 pick because the league came out with this stupid rule where they're doing a sort of play-in situation, kind of like the NBA. So they have these teams that are in a play-in situation because they're straight going to the playoffs. No regular season. So they have 24 teams. There's these 8 teams in a play-in situation. They're playing a series when they will move on and then play for the Stanley Cup. So they left the loser teams from that play-in tournament that's going to be starting in July, at the end of July, also eligible to get the number 1 pick. It was a 2.5% chance of getting it. That 2.5% chance happened. So some random team, we don't know yet, will get the number 1 pick in the NHL draft.
That's totally lame.
It is.
Very freaking weird.
Because
F you COVID, you just screwed everything up.
Because anyway. not only did it screw the Kings out of a chance to, had they not had those teams, the Kings would have gotten the number
That's
1
bizarro.
Pick.
Bizarro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
Yeah. So that 2.5 chance came true. Even though the Kings did move up into a good position, they aren't getting that franchise number 1 guy. They've never won the lottery, so they missed out on that. They'll be picking number 2.
Is there a franchise number 1 guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's a Canadian winger. They're saying
that's
a
total bummer.
They're comparing him to Sidney Crosby.
Oh, that's just so
it's like, you kidding me? My team, the team, and you know, we've won Stanley Cups, and it might seem trivial to think this pick,
but still, it kind of got feel a little screwed.
Yeah, feel a little screwed.
Feel a little like
because what could
Chris
happen,
Paul
Jake?
In the NBA.
Right, because what could happen, Jake, is you could have a team that was basically an 8th seed going into the at the end of the.
I pick up what you're putting down, bro.
Getting the number 1 pick.
Yeah,
now.
That's totally.
Yeah.
Weak.
Yeah, or even somebody like teams that are established, like the Penguins, the Blackhawks, they could get the number 1 pick.
Yeah, that's horseshit.
That's the news. The Ducks are picking, I believe, like 6 or something.
So when is this tournament and NHL playoff?
That starts
thing
end of July.
It starts at the end of July.
And how long does it go?
Well, there's going to be the play in, and then they start the real tournament.
Now talk about chaos,
right? Because the funny thing is that I said on Twitter they might actually finish the season because their bubble is in Canada, which is not dealing with all the spot.
Yeah, they're having a hub in Edmonton and Toronto.
Just roughly, when do those playoffs, not the play in playoffs, start?
Everything starts July 30th, 31st, right?
The playoffs start?
No, the play-in.
Oh, play-in.
When do the playoffs start?
The start of the playoffs are probably about 2 weeks.
After that.
Yeah. After that. Okay, yeah. So mid-August.
Right.
Probably,
okay. When does the NBA start?
End of July. First game, I believe, is
so
the 31st.
So I think their timeline
their playoffs
is very
start about
similar.
The same.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, mid-August. Yeah. When is the NFL supposed to kick off?
Ugh.
And presumably the NBA and the NHL, they're still doing, you know, a semi or conference final and then a final.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So you're looking, that's probably going to go at least through September.
Right.
And a minimum.
The latest the NBA would end was October.
Okay.
Beginning
October.
Of October. And the latest, the last game, if there's a game 7 in the Stanley Cup finals for the NHL, would be September 30th.
So the NFL, though, they still have not acknowledged, have not relinquished any of their dates yet, right?
No.
So theoretically, the NFL could start in earnest.
September, the second week of September.
Early September.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? And then what about
baseball?
Baseball
is the latest. They'll finish is October, early October.
So, Jamal, as someone who, you know, and by the way, when does soccer end?
Soccer, they're doing this tournament and then they're going to have a regular season. They might not be done till the end of November or Christmas, maybe.
So soccer's going through the fall, too?
Yeah.
So, Jamal, as a person who can't take your eyes off sports and probably, you know, is your marriage going to be able to survive this?
That's what this I want to know.
There is
the
a date. There's a date, August 3rd. Uh-huh. All 4 leagues, not all 4. Well, MLS, minus NFL.
Sans
MLS,
NFL. There you go.
Baseball, NBA, and NHL will be on television from 7 a.m. Pacific time till midnight. Till 9 p.m. 9 p.m. Pacific time. finishing at around midnight.
I'm just going to melt down my TV, put it in a needle, and
we're talking about inject like, it into we're my veins. We're talking about a game literally almost every hour on the hour.
I'm just saying, if you look at modern American culture,
right.
They have gone through the biggest like sports desert
right.
in modern history.
And it's going to be the biggest explosion. It's,
I mean, does anything say America more than that?
It's we talked about the start and stop in a certain term. We called it blue balls. Yeah. Well, this might be the biggest explosion.
Yeah, the biggest boner ever. Yeah.
Right.
Bonerino slash.
August 3rd.
Yeah.
I saw that schedule.
Sports ecstasy.
I saw that schedule and I immediately checked to see if I was working because I'm like, I told my wife, if I'm not working, you guys might not see me.
Yeah.
Because I might just be in the room all day.
Well, I hope, you know.
Send food, send water.
You know, the What's Bruin Show always has the sports godfather, Jim Bendat, in its thoughts. And I'm hoping that the godfather, you know, he is a spry young man at heart.
Yes.
But, you know, he is getting up there.
That
Godfather, I want you to exercise caution whilst dipping yourself back into the sports pool. You know, so don't overstimulate yourself.
That
we don't want that to happen.
You guys might not hear. It's going to be one of those Howard Hughes situations.
It's possible.
Record things. Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to come out with a beard and my finger. I'm just going to pee in a jar.
What's happening?
Yeah. Not going to know what's going to happen.
That's just crazy. And by the way, these are all like.
That's what we're all.
And these are all hypotheticals.
Yes. Honestly, other than the. Again,
and like I said, when you throw college football in the mix, like I said, we don't think it's going to happen. But can you imagine?
Right.
All of those things happening simultaneously.
Yeah.
T ratings for every other thing.
They're going to drop. Oh, yes.
Lord, HBO yeah. Max right. goes out of business.
Right. Access Hollywood has had like a share of 30% and it's going to go to like 2 in like one day, one.
You know, realistically, what will happen is everybody will counter program. So then HBO will be playing like Sesame Street.
Oh, yeah.
At like 9 o'clock at night.
Oh, yeah.
You know, or whatever. Just
get the kids on.
You don't want to let any of their good content go.
Right, so, yeah, exactly. Hey, all the old SNLs are now on TV all of a sudden. You know,
Watchmen 2. Yeah. Season 2 is coming out.
We're
this
bringing
time.
Back Game of Thrones.
Season 2 of The Mandalorian is
for free. Exactly. They're going to try to jump in on that. So.
Mikey, you posted a question on the What's Bruin Show feed a little while ago, and we actually got a kind of a big response from that.
Dear Lord, we got a massive response.
I know, right?
So I mean,
I'm going to say, seeing some people's responses made me feel old.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Actually, let me, I got to retweet and favorite some of them right now. And, you know, because a lot of people are bored and on the social medias, you know, there are a lot of trending questions or little hypotheticals that people put out. And one of the trending, how can I say, topics right now is, what was your favorite player from blah, blah, blah when you were 10 years old? So I figured I'd put this on the What's Bruin podcast. I put, who was your favorite UCLA Bruin when you were 10 years old? And we got a ton of responses. Let me go through a couple of them. And you can definitely tell, obviously, since this talks about when individuals are 10 years old, you can definitely tell who the younger cats are and who some of the, you know, older folks are. Because we have answers.
Well, it's funny,
like
when I was 10, I wasn't really into sports that much at all. So I'd have to say, like, just by the... You know, the climate of the time, it would probably have to be Kareem because I didn't probably know any other goddamn runs.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. But a lot of people were very specific. We got questions like Dennis Dumit, Sidney Wicks, Toby Bailey, David Hamilton way out there in New York said in 1967 it was a tie between Lewell Cinder and Gary Beben. Ah. Good choices. Jackie Robinson, Pooh Richardson, Tom Ramsey, Rayford Johnson, Cade McNown.
Rayford Johnson, Jesus.
Yeah, Eric McNeil, Wendell Tyler, Darren Collison. I mean, everybody, like, go on our Twitter feed and you can just see. I retweeted everybody, so it's right there for everyone to see. Jordan Farmar, Earl Watson, someone put the entire volleyball team.
Nice.
Women's, maybe. Mm-hmm. Wayne Cook, got a shout out to Wayne Cook who liked that tweet. Yeah, Jason
Who
Capono, Deshaun Foster. Sorry?
Who said Wayne Cook?
Who said Wayne Cook? Where is this? A gentleman by the name of CT Buddy Lee, 824.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Wayne Cook. Wayne Cook, when he was 10 years old, his favorite player was Wayne Cook?
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Why not?
He knew he'd be a Bruin one
Why
day.
Why not? So, yeah, thank you guys for responding. John Shara, Lou, as a one guy put it, Steve Ogg, thank you very much. But yeah, no, it was pretty good. Thank you guys for engaging.
What was your
answer, Mikey? I got to put more into this. You know, same thing too. I thought about it. You know, I liked Cream for the longest time. So I would most likely say, you know, whoever was playing on the UCLA basketball team or football when I was 10, you know, it didn't come close to Kareem. So
I'm a sports junkie, so
could boss be Jamal.
So
Jamal Wilkes.
No.
Keith
was,
Wilkes?
No, it's Kareem. it was Jackie Robinson when I was probably 10. Yeah, mm-hmm. Because I was huge baseball fan. Baseball was probably my first love sport where you just like jumped into everything, history, yeah. Wanted to know about all of it. But I would say when I was 10, for sure, touchdown Tommy Maddox was that's who I first fell in love with UCLA football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was the guy. Touchdown Tommy Maddox.
I can see that.
Yeah, yeah. That was the guy for sure. And I always followed his career. I was happy when he was able to make a comeback with the Steelers because my dad was a Steelers fan, so it was fun to watch that. And then for basketball, it was Don McLean because he was so dominant.
Simi Valley Zone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don McLean for sure.
That's awesome.
Wear it, Snake.
Yeah, Wear it, Snake. Yeah, on Twitter. Friend of the show, Colby, who provided 3/4 of the What's Brewing mics. Thank you very much again, Colby. And got some pretty sweet bats for my daughters, too, by the way. Thank you for that as well, Colby. He says... And by the way, we used to be season ticket holders together. Mm. So his answer does not reflect what he was when he was 10, but all comes from Slack. he says he doesn't know how to tweet or whatever. I don't know how he read it then, but Colby says, but obviously most underappreciated QB in college history is Cade McNown. Damn right. I almost named my son after him. Think about it. He puked at midfield and then threw a touchdown on the next play. And
hells yeah, he did.
Yeah, and I can't disagree with that. Big Colt, thank you very much. Also, on the What's Brewing Slack channel, our good man Dave, my pet baboon Dave, he said you want to thank me for my recommendation of Mythic Quest Raven's Banquet on Apple TV.
Still
he said
got to it.
He really enjoyed it, and there's lots of similarities to what happens in the entertainment industry and other creative offices. Of course, he is a graphic designer, sort of artsy fartsy mm-hmm. type. And yeah, thank you for your support, Dave. And if you'd like to be on the What's Brewing Show Slack, all you got to do is join the What's Brewing Patreon, and you get to engage with us on there,
mm-hmm.
however often or however not often we do. But we love you guys on the Slack, and thank you very much.
And as Jake said, you know, we do want to try to have more content, although it's been a little bit hard with no sports. But I completely forgot. Jake brought it up.
And just our different occupations and civil unrest.
That
and,
too, yeah. And you know, listening to. But you brought up a
obnoxious
good point.
Chants and whatnot.
Some of the old shows from my radio show from KQBH, The Conversation. We need to put those on.
Yeah.
Because if you go there
to
Patreon, where we did was about a month ago right now.
Yeah.
Jamal and I talked about Abbey Road. Yeah, that was Jamal's. Jake's going to come up with an album soon, so we'll talk about that. And
I have one in mind. I just don't know if I'm courageous enough to roll with it.
We'll talk about it later.
It's okay, Jake. You're Liberace's number one fan. Yeah, we won't judge.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, you know, it's a good guy. You know, he's a great piano player. Yeah. So,
master of the keys.
Flamboyant.
Anywho. Mikey?
Yes.
I think... Do we have anything else? Guys,
anything else
to talk about?
I think we're good.
Okay.
To the final segment.
Speaking of Mythic Quest Raven's Banquet, my other favorite show right now,
mm-hmm.
Perry Mason, HBO Max.
I heard it's really good. I heard it's good.
It's really dark, but it's really, really good. It's really, really good. And I love that guy because he's from The Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Matthew Reese.
Yes.
He's such a good actor
he's
guy.
He's a great
dude.
Emoting...
Oh God!
Brooding,
he's great.
Yes.
And there's a lot of other really good character actors in there.
Lithgow's in it.
Lithgow's in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he had a great quote about Philippe's.
Yes.
Actually, I sent it to Petros. I don't know if it made the PMS today, but anywho, watch that show, Perry Mason, if you have HBO Max. Pretty damn good. With that being said, it's Bill's favorite part of the show, even though he's not here.
Jerk.
The empty chair.
Yeah, the empty chair.
What's brewing with you?
Mikey!
What's up?
What's wrong with you, buddy?
Well, I was going to say this, but it was going to be a part of my What's Brewing, so I waited a couple seconds because I knew we were coming to the segment. Two things, really quickly. This Sunday on the Conversation at KQBH 101.5 LPFM.LA or on the iOS app, we are doing another conversation similar to a couple of weeks ago. We talked about Deltron 3030, and I got one of my DJs from the radio station, him and his friend, they liked that conversation, so they kind of want to do an extended yet different version. So we are going to be talking about the same players, most of the same players involved in Deltron 3030, and talking about
Handsome Boy Modeling School.
Yes, and if you have not heard that, what is wrong with you? Because that is
a great little
That whole click with Dan the Automator, Prince Paul, Kid Koala, they worked with a lot of them worked together on Gorillaz, Deltron, a couple other kind of gimmicky
hip-hop albums. Remind me of college. I love them.
Yes, exactly. And I blame I blame Matt for that. He pretty much just shoved these CDs in my hand, said listen to them, and I was like, okay. Greatest album ever.
Lucky.
I had that.
My roommates were listening to NSYNC.
That one.
In college?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Well, I am younger than you guys. That's what was big.
That one musically inclined reporter type that worked at Louvel for like 6 months is the one who slipped all these CDs into my hands. And so I had them probably maybe a little bit before you. But I apologize.
Cobra Nose. That's what I was going to say. Cobra Nose.
Yeah, yours is Cobra Nose. My guy is a different guy. And I want to apologize because I do think I ended up absconding with one of his CDs that he got from one of the record companies. And I don't think I ever give back. And so, hey.
His fault.
I apologize. If you write me, it's probably in one of these crates behind me. And I'll dig it out if you can remember what it is, because I don't remember what it is. But, Mikey, that's the conversation.
Yes.
On what radio station?
KQBH.
And who is the host of that?
Mike Regalado.
Yeah, that guy. All right. He's all right. And secondly, for my What's Brewing, I got to say I just watched Palm Springs. And as a fan of Groundhog Day.
Where did you watch it?
What do you mean where I watched?
On what did you watch it?
Channel, platform, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, it was Amazon, wasn't it? Why am
Hulu.
I blanking?
Hulu.
Hulu. Thank you. Yes. and it's Andy Samberg, SNL alum. And it's basically the exact same premise of Groundhog Day, but they do a very good job of switching it up a bit. Different curveballs. A few holes, but for the most part, it's pretty funny. Nice. Jamal, what's brewing with you?
Well, going back to... Sorry, guys, because of circumstances, I can only give TV recommendations now every time we do this.
That's okay.
Yeah. I watched the other day this great World War II movie, Greyhound. Unfortunately, it's only on Apple Plus or Apple TV Plus. I only have that because it was free when I got my new iPhone. You got it free for a year. So I haven't really watched it for anything, but as soon as I saw, first of all, it's starring Tom Hanks. Any World War II movie with Tom Hanks, I'm in. Actually, any movie with Tom Hanks, I'm in, but specifically World War II. And it's about the Battle of the Atlantic. Tom Hanks plays a U.S. naval captain who is in charge of escorting a commercial and troop convoy of ships from the U.S. to England. And basically, they're being hunted down by U-boats, submarines, German submarines, and his boat's called Greyhound, and the submarine that's trying to sink him is called Grey Wolf. And it's a pretty fun, it's only 90 minutes and it's pretty taut. Basically, it's kind of a cat and mouse chase where Tom Hanks is playing this captain. It's his first command, and it's his first crossing of the Atlantic, and he's trying to get this convoy across. And there's a lot of like, I would say it's almost like Battleship. They're just spouting off these orders in terms of the maneuvering of the ships, coordinating other battleships that are also escorting the convoy, facing off against these U-boats and trying to figure out where they're at when they can't see them. And it's super cold. The radar's freezing. You know, they're trying to sink them. They're running out of fuel. It's really ton. It's really fast movie. And by the end of it, you're just like on the edge of your seat, hoping that they make it across the Atlantic. And it's really good. So I would recommend it. It's called Greyhound. It's on Apple TV Plus. You know, maybe you can just get it for free for the week and then just dump it because there's really nothing else on there.
Yeah, my wife just watched
the Beastie Boys.
That came out the doc, but
that's it.
Yeah,
Mythic Quest, Raven's Bake. What's on there?
Yeah, I started watching that. That's a funny.
Watch it all the way through.
Watch it all the way through. Good. Okay, it's started watching a couple. The problem is, I can only have it on my phone. I can't stream it. I don't know why. I don't know.
There's an Apple TV, Dick.
I don't have an Apple TV. I have a Roku, and I can.
Those are lame.
And I can Chromecast, but it's the only app that won't let me Chromecast. I was like,
get an Apple TV.
I had to watch it on my phone. So that's the thing. I'm not as bullish about the shows if I just have to watch it
on
my phone.
It's funny. That's the only show I've watched on Apple TV so far.
Yeah.
That
was the only thing I had watched so far.
It's like I really liked it. Yeah. So I keep watching that one, though.
Right.
Okay.
So Greyhound. Definitely go watch Greyhound. And again, I'm going to advocate HBO Max. My son and I, we ran through the Harry Potter movies. There's so much on there. You know, there's great documentaries I watch. Again, touting Tom Hanks, he's had these CNN documentaries about certain decades. Well, he did one about the movies, and it's just great. It's great. Watch those. Anthony Bourdain's No Reservations is on there all the seasons completely. Watch those. It's great. Get HBO Max. Trust me. It's the best $11 you're going to spend.
My new favorite show, as I already said, I think Perry Mason.
Perry Mason. Cool. Yeah. Yeah, I can That's watch on that on HBO Max. Exactly.
Very cool.
Cool. What's brewing with you?
Thank you, Jamal. And thank you, Mike. So I've had a life-changing purchase in the last couple weeks, and I showed you guys this purchase.
Awesome.
When you first got here, and Jamal actually tasted the product of this purchase. And on the What's Brewing Show feed, we've had a new category on the feed called food porn because I am now a producer of food porn, apparently, because I never would have thought that I could make a brisket. And yet, over the weekend, I spent 12 hours making a brisket.
12 hours later.
And Jamal ate it today. And Jamal, how was it?
It was awesome. It's perfect.
It came out so good. I made some chicken. I made a bunch of steaks. I made quite a few things on my brand new Traeger wood pellet grill. And I can't recommend the darn thing highly enough. It makes it idiot-proof. I am not a great cook, but I can act like one with this thing. And I got it from Costco. So not super cheap, but not super expensive either, considering like all the stuff it does. Really, the whole grill is integrated into your phone to where you can control the temperature and the probe into the meat, and you can adjust it. And the recipe that you're cooking off of is incorporated into the interface that you're using to adjust the temperature. So it really is idiot proof. I love the dang thing. And there are so many different smokers and grills and options out there. So this certainly isn't necessarily the better than any other thing, but I'm telling you, like, the new modern technology they have in these grills is so badass. And I've always, I've never had any confidence doing this. And now I'm just telling you, just look at the pictures on the What's Brewing Show feed. Those are some pretty, those meals were freaking excellent. So there you go. I'm really enjoying my Traeger grill. And I would just like to say, I wish Bill was here to hear this, but, in keeping our, Bill and I, we're always kind of a yin and a yang, so to speak. I'm now, hands down, a better cook than him, a better bartender than him, better at chess than him. He's retired from basketball, so even though he used to be better than me at basketball, I could still play the game, so I'm better at basketball than him.
Did Bill ever make a drink?
I'm definitely a worse carpenter, but I'm way better at him than at football.
Musical selection is up there.
He's better at CrossFit, certainly. He's probably better at martial arts because he is kind of a black belt in Krav Maga. But I still think, in a fight, I give myself a better than fair chance. So yeah, I mean, in the ongoing scoreboard of life between me and Mr. William Henry Shirley the third, I'm pretty confident now. Yeah, not to say that it's all about that. But there was a follow up question, Jamal. Did you have a follow up question?
I was going to say I don't recall. When you said better bartender, I don't recall Bill ever making an actual drink. I mean, he poured us scotch whenever.
Admittedly, some of my categories might be framed to give me an advantage.
Yeah, I was going to say. I don't ever remember him actually making a drink.
But I'm just saying, because as we advance in life, we're both solidly in our middle age now, right? He is inexplicably exploded as a creative carpenter. If you would have told me that 15 years ago, if you had told me that 3 years ago, I would have laughed my head off. And yet the man has built 3 tables in my home. So I'm proud to say we're both developing. But I'm better cooking bar, better bartender. I'll sleep at that.
Yeah,
he'll sleep it there.
But I'll put my drinks on his table.
It's like I'm almost like you're a better public safety person than him. I was like, Bill's not really a public safety person, so we're
I'm a way better podcaster than him too.
Yeah, well, there you go.
As we can note in his absence, the empty chair. But yeah, that might be a little petty, but you know, I enjoy it anyway. So guys, this has been fun. It's been real, right, Mikey? You hang in there.
I'm trying to figure out what the heck is happening with football. See, that's one thing. Yeah, last note. That's one thing I'm kind of fearing is that we're not going to have football right away, but then they push it to spring, and then it's just going to be everything at once.
Yeah, everything coalescing at once. Just
that. Like, technically, that's kind of cool.
Worlds are colliding.
That would be awesome, but it's going to be hell.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I feel you.
Enjoy the downtime now.
Jamal, likewise, you hang in there, brother.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Still trying to hang in there.
Yeah, me too. I'm adjusting to some things myself, and that's all we can do. Guys, until next time, you know, obviously it's probably to all of our benefit, you know. I just got this really cool 3D printed statue of Marcus Aurelius for my desk at work. And the ironic thing is that it took me 10 years to decide to move into my desk at work.
Uh-huh.
And then as soon as I decided to move my desk at work, they told me, oh, yeah, you no longer have a desk at work. So I'm choosing to adopt the mindset of one of my heroes in life. That'd be Marcus Aurelius. You have power over your mind.
Damn it.
Not outside events. Realize this, and you will find strength.
Damn it, Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that son of a bitch. But, guys, until next time. Go Birds.
Good evening.
Try us tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel.
It's got to be in or out, Mom. In or out. Well, I need the door closed.
Thank you for your cooperation.
Size doesn't necessarily matter if you want it hard enough.
Dude, brah, we place a ball on the West Coast.
The final word is boob.